Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by nobody. I kind of screwed up the schedule here, but I promise we are going to have a really good guest on tomorrow's show, and then we are going to get back to the regularly scheduled. We'll have Pete on for consecutive shows, I believe. So we have plenty of stuff to look forward to as the week unfolds. Today's show is going to be a couple topics. First off, we have a report from Mark Stein of the New York Times. That the front office, that Lakers management is annoyed with Luke Walton for not having a veteran former head coach on his staff. Shouts to Brian Shaw, apparently. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and the validity of that report, or not the report. The report we know is valid, but the validity of the criticism, while it's obviously hypocritical, it can also be valid, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then one of the things that I wrote about today for Silver Screen and Roll was Reggie Bullock and his three-point struggles and some other stuff that, you know, so the entire Lakers roster has really struggled with with three-point shooting this year. And, you know, guys who either shot better last year or guys who shot better in previous places and then came over and haven't shot particularly well. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of what I think some reasons behind that. I do not claim to be a particularly great basketball player at this stage of my life. I'm probably not even a particularly good basketball player. I'm probably thoroughly, I won't say bad, but I'll probably say like thoroughly mediocre. Like if you were to find like your average, the average NBA player in the world, I'm probably right there. Me and this humongous gut that I have allowed myself to attain. But I do think one of the few things though that I was good at when I was actually good at basketball was shooting. That was what I was strongest at. So I'm going to offer a little bit of context based on my playing time, and in talking to some guys who have dealt with this kind of thing, and I'm just going to offer up a few theories as to why I think the Lakers have really struggled with 3-point shooting this year, especially guys who either previously had shot the ball pretty well, or you know, as a Laker, or guys who come over and see their numbers decline as a Laker as well. So I think there are some organizational concerns there regarding the 3-point shooting that, you know, if they get identified early enough in the process, maybe they can be fixed as we head into what's going to be yet another crucial offseason. So plenty of stuff to get to today. Let's start, though, with the report from, again, Mark Stein. I'll read the report that I was able to aggregate for Silver Screen and Roll today. Quote, Walton is certainly not blameless in the Lakers' struggles. His lineups, rotations, and responsibility for LA's worrisome drop to number 22 league-wide in offensive efficiency have routinely been questioned. Management, furthermore, is said to be dismayed by Walton's refusal to hire a seasoned former head coach as his top assistant, something young coaches, Walton is 38, frequently do. Yet, the public nature of the heat Walton took from his own front office made Johnson look impatient and worse, ramped up the pressure on everyone in the Lakers locker room, especially the coach, before they even made it to Thanksgiving. With 2 years left on a five-year deal, Walton is widely expected to be shoved out of his toasty seat for good at the end of at season's end. So let's start with the main criticism here, the lineups, rotations, and offensive system, right? I think all of that is fair. So he has been practically dogmatic in his belief and in the way that he utilizes as many players as he does with his rotation. Luke Walton refuses to not utilize hockey substitutions. And you know, that's fine earlier on in the year when the Lakers had everybody at their disposal. But as the year went on and you had losses to injury, and Walton was still playing 10 or 11 guys at any given game, what that meant was you were getting more of the 12th and 13th guys on the roster, right? And it's just, it's really rare that the 12th, 13th, 14th, and you know, into the 15th guys on a roster, it's really rare that those guys are the kinds of guys you want on the basketball court regularly for an NBA team. And so what you have with the way that he managed those rotations is, well, the Lakers were starting from already with a talent deficiency, and the actual NBA players that they did have weren't getting as many minutes as they should have, and they were losing out on those minutes to guys who probably aren't really NBA players at that stage, and it really hurt the Lakers. And then, you know, this was year three of Luke Walton as an NBA head coach, and this was year three of Luke Walton not employing a consistent offensive system, and not employing it, not paying enough attention to details and in having his guys run it. And, you know, at some point, as tough as it might have been for him to fire somebody like Jesse Mermes, who was in charge of the offense, and with Jesse Mermes being a close personal friend, well, if you don't make that change, then at the end of the day, the accountability stops at the very top. And so Luke Walton didn't make that change, never made that change, despite no real improvement in that aspect of the Lakers organization. And here we are, right? All that said, this is pretty rich criticism. This, you know, this idea that Luke Walton, that they're frustrated that Luke Walton didn't hire somebody with more experience coaching in the NBA, when a couple of guys, Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, came into this job with no other experience. Now, yes, Magic Johnson played in the NBA. He was a part owner and all that stuff. And Rob Pelinka, as an agent, had experience as a talent evaluator. But in terms of actual experience as executives in the NBA, this new regime had zero of it. None. And so the fact that they are identifying this concern with Luke Walton and not in their own right, as it stands right now, that, you know, it's a little rich. It doesn't make it any less valid, but it's a little rich. And here's hoping that they recognize this criticism that they have of Luke Walton and they apply it to their own background in these jobs, and they, you know, they make some kind of change. Because, look, they can fire Luke Walton this summer. They can employ Greg Popovich for all I care. But if they give Greg Popovich this same roster with the same flaws that it had earlier on in the year, and they never take accountability for the mistakes that they made in putting together this roster, well then, yes, Greg Popovich gets more out of this roster than Luke Walton does, but they still fall short of their goals while employing LeBron James. So I think it's good that they're identifying an actual concern with Luke Walton. I don't have any problem with the concern in and of itself, as it's something that Pete and I have talked about extensively on this show. But I do hope that they identified this same flaw in their piecing together their actual the front office that they work with, and they make that change as well. Unfortunately, that ship has kind of sailed as it pertains to Jerry West, who wanted to be a part of this organization. I don't know if they remedy that. I don't know if you know, because at this point, if they bring Jerry West in, then he's really seen as a savior, and Magic Johnson really doesn't take any of the credit that he obviously really probably wants. So I don't know where the Lakers go for that experience in the front office. And you know, while they might say, well, we now have that experience, just like Brian Shaw, it's not good experience. Brian Shaw was so bad as an NBA head coach that he had a 56-86 record as an NBA head coach. He, I believe he had at one point, was making it was so difficult for him to relate to millennials that he was wrapping scouting reports to his team, which probably didn't have the intended effect on them. And at one point admitted openly that he couldn't connect to millennials. And it's not like all of a sudden you're not going to have millennials in an NBA locker room anymore. That's not how it's going to work. So I think the Lakers probably do wind up firing Luke Walton. They probably do hire somebody with a lot more experience as an NBA head coach. But I do hope that they look at this idea of limiting the amount of intelligence in a given room so that you remain the smartest person in it. I hope they move off of that stance organizationally as a whole. All right, we're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Reggie Bullock, a quote he gave regarding shooting, and some of the reasons were some of what I find to be potential explanations for why the Lakers have struggled to shoot the way that they have this year. All right, so let's start with Reggie Bullock's quote. Again, I wrote about it for Silver Screen and Roll today, so we will start there. Quote, my teammate, this is after the Lakers beat the Chicago Bulls, so players tend to be a little bit more open to, you know, answering questions honestly. Quote, my teammates told me to keep shooting, to believe that I'm a shooter. I believe that every shot I take is going in. I felt like a lot of them were short tonight against the Bulls, but that's something for me to get back into the gym and continue to work on. But my confidence has to continue to stay there for me to continue to shoot the ball, because that's what we need for this team, and they depend on me to do that, so I have to make shots. Again, pretty obvious that the type of thing that you would expect to hear from somebody dealing with shooting woes. Before Reggie Bullock came to the Lakers, he was hitting almost 40% of his three-pointers, 38.8%. Since he's been a Laker, and remember, he started shooting really well when he first came to the Lakers, right? He was shooting the ball. He was the kind of shooter that the Lakers desperately needed. And now, if you look at his entirety as a Laker, he is now shooting 29.9% on five attempts per game. And that means that he's even lower than that when you take into account the fact that he shot the ball as well as he did as he first arrived here, right? And so I have a couple theories on this. One, and this is the least tangible one, so I'll spend the least amount of time on it, but all three-pointers that a teammate takes of LeBron James, all of those three-pointers are going to be taken with heightened pressure around him. And I think this is when you can, you know, so when you look at guys who were Lakers last year who are now struggling shooting the ball, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope went from 38% to now 33.6%. Hart went from just below 40% to now 33.2%. Kyle Kuzma went from about 37% to about 31% this year. So you see all of those significant drops across the board here. And you wonder, all right, so aside from, and we'll get into some organizational and structural things in the next segment, but what's one thing that all of these guys have in common compared to their previous stops and why they had success before and they aren't having as much success now? And for all of these shots that LeBron James creates, all of them come with a heightened level of pressure. You have to make those shots, or else, you know, LeBron and the number of people who are watching that game, it's really obvious when you are part of the reason why the Lakers are being held back. And I think for shooters, with something like this, where it's just muscle memory and you find yourself out there on that island wide open from three, you know, it becomes a tougher shot to take because you start to get in your own head. Bullock has talked about confidence this year, obviously in that quote that I gave a second ago. Kyle Kuzma has talked a lot about confidence. Josh Hart has talked a little bit about confidence as his slump has kicked in. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I haven't heard as much from in general, but I would imagine that confidence is, again, something that all of these guys have kind of tried to manage this year. And unfortunately, because of the way that the situation that they find themselves shooting in, it's tough for them to maintain that confidence. And the worst that they have shot, and at this stage of the season, when you have guys who are all shooting poorly at this stage of the year, that means that, you know, their slumps have vastly outlasted their hot streaks. And when that's the case, it's just hard to get any momentum going. And I think at this point, all of these guys' confidence have snowballed in the wrong direction. And I think heading into every one of these games now, they find themselves open, and it's a, oh, here we go again kind of moment. And I don't know if there's a way to identify that heading into next year and try to fix it, but it's something definitely worth examining. That's the less tangible explanation for it. In segment three, and after we pay a couple bills here, I'm going to talk a little bit about more tangible things, more definable and explicable explanations here than I just gave a second ago. So hang tight for that. So we talked in the last segment about confidence and the intangible, the mental aspect of the game, the psychological aspect of the game. What I want to focus on here is the physical. This is also mental to a certain extent, but this is more about habits, right? And for all shooters, shooting a basketball a lot of times comes down to muscle memory, right? Now, you have guys who are naturally more talented as shooters than others, but even those who aren't as talented, you practice enough, you repeat the motion as often as you can, and you can become as good a shooter as you can, given some of those shortcomings that you might have, you know, type of shot, footwork, habits, stuff like that. Where you separate the good shooters who do have good mechanics and do have good footwork and consistent arc on their shot from the elite shooters is the elite shooters can still find ways to be successful even in non-optimized situations. So the Steph Currys, the Klay Thompsons, the Ray Allens, you just think of all of the best shooters ever, right? And they find ways to knock down shots despite having their body tweaked in certain ways, not catching the ball in their shooting pocket consistently, having defenders run at them, not getting to apply the same footwork, but still being able to adjust for that mid-shot, not necessarily knowing when a shot is going to come. Like, all of those things are factors that a shooter relies heavily upon. And so for somebody like Reggie Bullock or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and, you know, obviously Kyle Kuzma and Josh Hart have less of a sample size to point to here to identify what kind of shooters they actually are. But for guys who are good shooters, not great shooters, not obviously not elite shooters, but the good shooters out there, they need to have a certain number of boxes checked off so that they feel comfortable shooting that shot right from the get-go. So let's say their footwork isn't able to be consistent because of the timing of catching the ball, right? Well, then maybe they need a little extra space to feel comfortable to get that shot off. Maybe the opposite of that is true, where they are catching the ball with less space than they're accustomed to, but because they were able to utilize their typical footwork, they feel comfortable getting that shot off nonetheless. Another thing too, I talked about timing just briefly there, but a lot of these guys, you know, there are certain spots on the court, there are certain moments on the court where they expect to catch the ball. And when they're, you know, if they can plan on every game in, game out, getting at least a couple attempts from that same spot, they can kind of plan the rest of their game out. And with the Lakers' lack of system here, with the lack of consistency, not just in terms of system, but also in terms of teammates that they've played with. This is where injuries can obviously affect the shooter themselves because they aren't 100%, but it can also affect the shooter as, you know, if you're used to getting a certain shot type as a result of playing with LeBron James, and then he misses a quarter of the season, well, then it's kind of hard to build that habit once again whenever he comes back. And let alone if you're used to playing with LeBron James, and then you go from playing with LeBron James to now playing with a Rajon Rondo, who gets you the ball a certain way with a certain velocity to it, with a certain timing. Rondo is also going to get you the ball with a lot less space. You know, you aren't going to have as much time if you're catching a pass from Rajon Rondo as you would from LeBron James because of the gravity that LeBron creates. And then the same goes for Lonzo, right? So all of these inconsistencies, they kind of stack up on each other. And so for all of these shooters who, none of these guys, Bullock is a good shooter. He's not a great shooter. He's a good shooter. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a good-ish shooter. Josh Hart, it seems like he will finish his career as a good shooter. We'll see if he ever becomes an elite shooter, right? Kyle Kuzma is a mediocre shooter, right? He's a pretty good shooter. He's not a good one. But for all of these guys who are not great, let alone elite shooters, they need these situations to be consistent and they need to be as optimized as possible. And so before we even get to, you know, and you know, all these guys probably have their own shooting coaches, so I would imagine they're dealing with that as well. But for the Lakers to not have a consistent system, as I talked about earlier with Luke Walton, to have the injuries that they dealt with and the effect that that has on the shooters themselves. Josh Hart, for example, was shooting really well earlier on in the year, developed tendonitis, and can't throw a pea in the ocean at this point, right? And so you have all of these things kind of stacking up. And what the Lakers need to be able to do this upcoming offseason is A, maybe identify better shooters who can shoot in suboptimal situations a little bit more consistently than the guys that they have right now. But also, and probably more importantly, because there are fewer great or elite shooters than there are good ones, try to create more optimized situations for all these guys to be able to shoot. So that if you do have a team of, you know, pretty good, mediocre to pretty good to good shooters, and maybe not any great shooters on the roster, well then those guys, if you offer them more optimized situations to shoot, they become better shooters in aggregate and on average. And that's what the Lakers need to be able to do heading into next season is, okay, you probably aren't going to be able to sign a Klay Thompson. You probably aren't going to be able to sign a Chris Middleton or you know, the kid who won the 3-point contest who I'm blanking on right now. And NBA hipsters are probably up in arms for the fact that I'm not able to remember his name right now. And I've stalled and I still can't remember it, so I'm really sorry. But the kid out there in Brooklyn who won the 3-point contest, like, you, maybe they aren't able to sign one or two, maybe even one of those actual elite shooters. But they're able to either bring back or add to this roster a few more good shooters. And the hope here is that you make those good shooters better by offering them more consistent and optimized situations. You make those pretty good shooters good shooters. You make those mediocre shooters pretty good shooters, or maybe even good shooters, just because of the situation. And I know for me personally, I relied heavily on the timing from my point guard, or understanding, depending on the defense that I was going against any certain night. Okay, these are the spots that I'm able to find, and if I just get a couple shots there over the course of a game on a nightly basis, or at least a semi-nightly basis, I can build some momentum and head into every game with as much confidence as I have. And so you combine guys getting used to playing with LeBron in maybe Kuzma and Hart's cases, you combine optimized situations and maybe the Lakers, you know, head into this offseason with those as priorities and figure out a little bit better ways to be successful with LeBron on the roster. That's just the hope, at least. But you know what? Kudos to Bullock for trying to maintain confidence, and all these guys for trying to maintain confidence. They fell short of their goals, obviously. But maybe by identifying some of these concerns, the entire organization can get better moving forward. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Today we talked about Luke Walton and Magic Johnson and shooters. So we had a nice combination this time, I think, of actual basketball talk and front office and administration stuff. So we're going to continue to try to hammer out that balance there. We have a fun guest lined up for tomorrow, and then we have two more shows of Pete, and we will head into the weekend and get us ready for the home stretch of the season. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.